I can go now? All right. That song that the choir sang today, Child of God, was written by Martin Miller, who was commissioned some years ago to write for us a song that he titled Welcome to the House of the Lord. We sang this at the rededication of our sanctuary after its renovation. I believe that Mark and his music tell our story, which I want to talk to you more about this morning. The story of Asbury Memorial. We all are God's children. We all are welcome. Surely what is going on here is what Jesus intended. I'm thankful and I'm humbled by this opportunity to share some thoughts with you this morning, though saddened by the death of Sherry's dad, Thurman Butcher, whose death resulted in my being here. Thurman died Monday morning, and Billy called me that afternoon and said, I just can't wrap my head around getting a sermon together for this Sunday. Would you do it? And I said, of course I would. I'd be happy to. It's an honor and a privilege. Billy sends his love, and I know that all of us have been sending our love back to Sherry and Sherry's mom, Jean, and all the Butcher and Hester family. I've been getting all kind of advice this morning about be short. Try to jazz it up a little, stuff like that. But one of the best pieces of advice I've ever found, when Hubert Humphrey was preparing a speech, his wife Muriel reminded him, "Dear, for a speech to be immortal, it does not have to be eternal." I will try to adhere to that admonition, but like Hubert, I have so much I want to say in so little time. It's been 13 years since I stood up here and gave my last sermon. Can you imagine what it would be like if I wait another 13 years? I'll be 89 years old. Yeah, back in January of 2005, Billy asked me to deliver the message on Epiphany Sunday. My sermon title then was, Why Religion? Today my topic is, and I quote, A Safe Place to Land. But before I follow that title and that thread, please bear with me as I explain how I answered that question 13 years ago. Why religion? Because I think there's a connection between what I said then and what I want to share with you this morning. Muriel Humphrey, of course, is now turning over in her grave. And my wife is getting all of her little charts together. You've got 10 minutes, you've got 5 minutes. Yeah. And Barry tells me he's going to pull the plug in 20 minutes. So I'll try to, I won't be brief, but I'll try to be reasonable. In answer to the question, why religion, I borrowed a thought from the great historian and philosopher Arnold Toynbee, who asked, who are the greatest benefactors of the living generation of mankind? He answered his own question saying, Confucius, Laozi, the Buddha, the prophets of Israel and Judah, Zoroaster, Jesus, Muhammad, Socrates, because they have tapped into the truths that have created an opening through which the inexhaustible energies of the cosmos enter human life. In a word, I believe what Toynbee is talking about is religion. In that sermon 13 years ago, I went on to explain that the word religion comes from the Latin religare, which means to bind back or to retie. The idea behind that word is the notion that man has somehow become separated from the overarching order of the universe and seeks reunification with that order, that power, the meaning behind our existence. Many years ago, I read a wonderful book by a Norwegian author, and I don't know how to pronounce his name, but it's Justin Gaarder. And the book was Sophie's World, not Sophie's Choice. You may be familiar with that, too. That's a wonderful novel, but it's very, very hard to read. It's a dark story, but one that's important to tell. But anyhow, Sophie's World is a very different book. It's about a young girl and her introduction to the basic philosophical ideas of living. It's a beautiful book. I strongly recommend it. Sophie's World. And in that book, Gardner says, when we look up at the sky, we are trying to find our way back to ourselves. All the stars and galaxies in the universe are made of the same substance. There can be billions of light years between one galaxy and the next, but they all have the same origin. End quote. To me, it seems obvious then, we all have the same origin. All of the elements of the universe were once blended together in a star. We are, in a word, as we've heard before, stardust. We have within us the life force that has always existed and will always be. I believe that this means that we all possess a piece of the divine, a fragment of the universe from which we came and to which we will return. This, to me, is what religion is all about. That is, finding our connection to each other as a means by which to find our connection to the universe, to what we call God. Billy so eloquently spoke of this just last Sunday when he said, the Trinity not only reminds us that we need to connect with others, it reminds us that we are actually one. When you are hurting, I am hurting. When you are in need, I'm in need. It tells us that no one is a stranger, that I am you and you are me. Yes, we have separate identities. That's good, like the Trinity, but we are one and the same. Billy went on to say, can you imagine what our world would be like if people lived by this Trinitarian principle? Can you imagine what our politics would be like if we realized that there isn't an other? That immigrant, or that poor person, or a person of another political persuasion, or a stranger, is not an other. That in reality, they are us. They are you and me. Mahatma Gandhi said it another way. He said, even as a tree has a single trunk, but many branches and leaves, there is one religion, human religion, but any number of faiths. Seneca, the great Roman philosopher who lived at the same time that Jesus lived, said, the universe is too great a mystery for there to be one single approach to it. Those great benefactors, and I would include Gandhi, I would include Seneca. For me personally, I include Billy Hester. These great benefactors and many, many more have put us on a path to try to unravel the great mystery of our existence, of existence in its entirety. My message today is to share with you what, as individuals, this church as a community, and most surely Billy and Sherry Hester have meant to me in my circuitous faith journey, and why Asbury is such a wondrous, quote, safe place to land. Allow me to give you a little bit of background as to how I got here. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a very loving family and had at its center the church, the Methodist Church. I have some very fond memories of that. Sitting next to my dad, trying to be just as still as I could possibly, as he always was. And I can smell him to this day. It's very much like watching Caleb climb up in Nick's lap over here, which he does from time to time. Very wonderful memory in that church. Another wonderful memory, there was my Sunday school teacher when I was a child. We called her Miss Mac. I found out many years later her name was Macmillan. But anyhow, I don't remember anything that she taught except the little sign that was up on her piano that said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And that stuck with me all these years. Growing up, I had four heroes. My dad, my uncle, my dad's best friend, and my cousin, who is 3 years my senior. A fact that he ever reminded me of then when we were children. And though now at 79 and me 76, he likes to think we're about the same age. Well, we're not. He's still 3 years older. My dad was a business owner and an active layman in the Methodist Church. I'm sure we did not have a lay leader in the church at that time. But if there had been, my dad would have been that. He was very active in our church. My uncle was another one of my heroes. I've lost my place here. I'm sorry. My uncle is another one of my heroes, and my dad's best friend, and then my cousin. My dad was a businessman and an active layman in the Methodist church. My uncle Bud was a Methodist minister in a small country church right outside of Williamsburg, Virginia. My dad's best friend, Earl, was also a business owner and an active layman in his church, the Baptist church. And my cousin Sandy, Uncle Bud's oldest son, who I revered then and continue to revere today, is a retired banker and consultant, and thank God he's still with me. I dreamed one day that I would become a minister like my Uncle Bud and went away to college to major in animal husbandry so that one day I would be to agriculture what Albert Schweitzer was to medicine. Can you imagine that? Well, anyhow, that's where I was when I left high school. When I went to college, courses in philosophy and comparative religions broadened my thinking and may have been the beginning of my questioning, doubting, and finally putting aside some of the religious dogma that I had grown up with. Make no mistake, my childhood heroes were wonderful people who I would love to be able to talk with today to see if they still believe what I was taught as a child. Though I suspect we would differ somewhat in dogma, I believe that they would all agree that we are all children of God. I know they followed Micah's admonition to act justly, love mercy, and they surely walked humbly with their God. My Uncle Bud died at 42 and my dad at 45, and I was too young at the time to even question what I had been taught as a child. Anyhow, during college, I drifted away from the church, while at the same time feeling an emptiness in my life that I could not identify. I drifted in and out of churches for many years, unable to find what I was looking for, but unable to give up the quest. After two failed marriages, I found Asbury. After my second divorce, a friend suggested that I connect with this new young minister at Asbury Memorial. And I got to tell you, the first time I saw him, was at the performance of Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, the first time it was produced here. And I thought, this must be a mistake. This guy's just a kid. He's still got hair. Not possible that this could be the person that my friend described. But there was beautiful Sherry. She was pregnant with the twins. The next day, that was Sunday, I attended my first service at Asbury. As so many of you have testified, one time in the presence of Billy Hester sermons, I found home. I felt community. I felt that Billy was talking directly to me. At the end of the sermon, tears running down my cheeks, Joan Hester Bird turned in her pew and spoke to me with her eyes, saying, "It'll be okay. You're home. You're where you belong." It's what Chris tells us every Sunday when he gives the announcements. Welcome to Asbury. Welcome home. Soon after I started attending Asbury, I asked Billy why we didn't say the Apostles' Creed every Sunday. As he often does, his reply was he replies with a question. "Well, what do you think about that?" Instantly, I replied, "Relief. I feel relief. For so many years, I had repeated the creed from memory, which I had learned as a child, much of which I questioned or no longer believed, feeling guilty for repeating that which I didn't believe and guilty for not believing that which I had been taught. Until I finally found this place where Doubting Thomas is revered in Billy's sermons." But Fella Asbury and Carolyn Perry said it best when she gave a testimony as to what Asbury meant to her. She said, "Asbury is a safe place to land." I hadn't planned to do this until this morning, but let me share with you something that you've read before as an affirmation of faith. I even like that better, affirmation in faith instead of a creed. I don't know why. They're basically the same thing, but it's softer to me somehow. But here's what Billy put in the bulletin one Sunday. It's written by Dorothy McRae McMahon. "We believe in a God who is never confined to our imagining, is never in bondage to our beliefs, and never held fast in our dwelling places. Our God is the mystery of divine and human bound together, of power and vulnerability, of crucifixion and resurrection. Our God is the wonder of truth and compassion, of liberation and responsibility, of eternal wisdom and costly grace. We celebrate this God who leaps free of our boundaries in love, stretching out from horizon to horizon, and in mercy, bending deep into fragile human hearts. That resonates with me. I taught high school for 34 years. When I used to teach world history and thus world religions, I would often ask my students what they saw as the single most important idea of each religion. When we got to Christianity, the faith most of my students professed, I always got the same answer to the question. Invariably, they would answer something to the effect that the most important idea of Christianity was that Jesus died for our sins and gave the promise of eternal life. Though I would never impose my answer to the question on my students, but would certainly respond if they asked, and they always did. What do you think, Mr. Hodges? What do you think is the central idea of Christianity? My answer was then and continues to be today, found in the passage that was read by Susan this morning. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me. And those righteous folks out there say, well, Jesus, what are you talking about? We've never seen you in any of those situations. And Jesus answered, well, if you do it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do it to me. That's been my passion for religion for many, many years. These words of Jesus are to me the essence of Christianity, and this is what I hear in Billy's sermons time and time again. Though I probably would not have shared this with my students back then, since coming to Asbury and being under the influence of Billy and Marcus Borg, I have heard the idea that Jesus didn't die for our sins, but died because of our sins. That different perspective resonates with me. It may not with you, and that's okay. But it's something that resonates with me. You might wonder, why would a white, privileged male need a soft place to land? After all, I've never felt excluded or asked to leave a church because of my color or my sexual orientation. But I have been searching most of my life for an understanding of what I believe. As my previous sermon indicated, one thing I do believe with every fiber of my being is that my search for the meaning of life, and interestingly, that was the title of a philosophy textbook that I had in college, that search is really important. It's viscerally important, that deep inner feeling of importance, not my intellect, that tells me that I must know who I am and what I believe and why I find Asbury a safe place to land. And here amongst you, I believe that I can be authentic and say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I believe that. I don't think I believe this or that. I believe this today. Tomorrow I may not believe it because I'm still searching. Arnold Toynbee once said, what matters most is not knowledge, but one's relationship with other people. That I do know. That I do believe. One's relationship with other people is what matters. Recently, Billy and I had the opportunity to sit down with an old friend of Billy's who has visited Asbury on several occasions and who is now writing a book about what makes community happen. And he feels like what's going on here is a good indication of that. So Billy and I sat down with Steve Piscitelli, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, who is writing about this church, this community, in a blog that he titled A Safe Place to Land. I had told Steve about Carolyn Perry, and he borrowed that and put it in the title of his blog. After talking with Billy and I, Steve concluded that, quote, this spiritual community thrives because of its foundational values. And here's what he said. If you've read this, wonderful, but probably a lot of you didn't. It's pretty long, but it's really good, and I want to share it with you. The foundational principles of this church, says Steve Pistelli. One, acceptance and authenticity. When you walk in the door, you do not have to pretend to be what you are not. You do not have to hide who you are. Billy explained the concept of koinonia, fellowship, participation, sharing, and contribution. One parishioner, Kathleen Leppard, said she found, quote, a loving, open, and accepting church that includes all of us, as Jesus would. With love, without judgment, you're always welcome here. Community. Another foundational principle, says Steve, is listening and reflection. The words, I don't know, you might hear where that came from, play an important part at Asbury. The congregants remain free to explore. They are encouraged to explore their own paths. Rather than a church that remains stagnant, dogmatic, and unquestioning, the members find encouragement to question and admit when they do not know something, and then search for the answers. To communicate, we must first listen, truly listen to one another. Then we connect and appreciate. That's community, says Steve. The fourth foundational value is vulnerability and growth. When we let, you remember the sermon that Billy preached just recently about Pablo and Paul? What a beautiful sermon about vulnerability. When we let go of the need to be right at all costs and the obsession to cling to unaccepting dogma, we open up to vulnerability and growth opportunities. There will be times when people disappoint us, and when that happens, the congregation has made the commitment to hang in there. And as Billy says, until grace happens. But someone may draw within and withdraw from the church. If someone goes missing, church members notice and reach out to make sure it's all okay. They refer to, and he's referring to us now, the church. They refer to calling the missing, caring, open, accepting, and authentic, not intrusive. Community. Relevance and resilience. Billy's sermons have to pass a two-part litmus test. One, does the message connect with people by helping them identify with the message? And two, what is the positive impact on the listeners' lives? Again, it's not showing about how much the preacher knows about content, and we know Billy knows a great deal. Rather, how does the content help people accept, live, and grow together? Community. Steve concludes his blog with the following. So he's speaking to those who have read the blog. Don't leave with the idea that this loosey-goosey operation, that this is a loosey-goosey operation. I love that phrase. These people, these good people at Asbury are intentional about community. Very intentional. They appreciate that from our diversity we grow. One author states, community is an engine for peace. It is fuel for justice. That is what I feel at Asbury, said Steve Pistelli. By the way, when hearing of Thurman Butcher's death, Steve texted a sympathy note to Sherry saying, Thurman has found a safe place to land. I want Carolyn to please note that obviously her words impressed me some years ago. This has been quite a while since she stood up here and used those words. I shared them with Steve, and now he's got it in a blog, and he's going to have it in a book one day. Things we say, things we do, they have a powerful influence on those around us. Carolyn had a powerful influence on me. John Wesley summed it up when he said, we may not be of the same mind, but we can be of the same heart. I suggest that at Asbury it isn't can be, but instead we are of the same heart. Not the same mind, thank God. You don't want a whole church full of people like me. That's why we are community. That's why we are a safe place to land. I continue to struggle to know what God is because I keep trying to think about God with my mind. But as the ancient Jewish Kabbalah says, a truth explained in everyday words is a truth no longer true. There is much that my feeble mind, my intellect, is not capable of comprehending. And if I think I comprehend, then that which I think is God, it's too small for what God is. The beauty, the safety, the comfort that Asbury is to me is that I can say these things and have no fear that I will be condemned by those of you who hear and may think differently. Thank God for you. The Asbury community. Thank God for the Hester family that stimulates and guides us to a deeper understanding of what it means to truly be followers of Jesus. Finally, yes, we're getting to the final. Let me close with a slogan from the University of Texas. Ran across this just recently. What starts here changes the world. What starts here changes the world. We have something going on here that is unique in my experience. The United Methodist Church is realizing that we are not so united after all. But in the milieu of the controversy within our denomination over the LGBTQ issue, we must hold firm to what we have discovered here on the corner of Henry and Waters. Led by a young man and his beautiful family, that regardless of where we are on the path to understanding our existence, regardless of who we are, black or white, LGBTQ or straight, male or female, or someone in transition, we are all the children of the same source that we call God. And we are all good in His or her or its sight. We might even help to change the Methodist Church, the South Georgia Conference, who knows? We might even change the world. As Billy would say, amen and amen. Thank you.